Last week we looked at the Ten Commandments. We're going to finish chapter 20 this evening. And I'd like to begin with reading through the Ten Commandments once again, all the way through verse 21. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings, flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, You speak with us, and we will hear you. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. We just ask that you would fill this place with your presence, that you'd minister to us here, that you'd grab our attention, you'd open our ears and our hearts and our eyes, that you'd rule and reign and have your way. Meet us where we're at. Give us what we need. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We went over each of the Ten Commandments last week, so we're not going to repeat. But I want to make a couple of comments. First of all, that the law here given by God to the people is good. It's a good law, and it was for their good. For instance, God said, You shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make any carved image and bow down to it and worship it and serve it. That's good. That's good for us. The Bible says that we think that God is altogether like us. And they would make an image of what God would be in their mind. And they would carve this image. And the Bible says that the gods that you carve have eyes and ears, but they cannot see and they cannot hear. They have feet, but they cannot walk. And he says, those who worship him become like them. We become like what we worship. We're made in the image of God. And if we worship anything or anyone else, it's degrading. It's not good for us. So when God gave his law and said, You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make any carved image and bow down and serve it. That was a good thing. That was a good thing for them and good for us. The law is good. And all the laws he gave were for their benefit. They were good laws, and they were for them. But I want to look here, and as we're not going to look at each law, but I want to look at the purpose of the law. What is the law for? And to understand that, because if we know what the law is for, then it can benefit us the best. If we take it for what it's for, then it can help us the way it should. Also, I want to look at the limitation of the law. If we understand the limitation of the law, maybe we won't be as frustrated with the law. I heard different examples, and I'll use one that works for me. And when we install cabinets, Walter's installed cabinets before too, we have a level, and we want to get the cabinets level. So we take our level, we put it on the cabinet, and it'll tell us if the cabinet's level. The purpose of the level is to reveal which cabinets are level and which cabinets are unlevel. Now, when we find a cabinet, we put the level down, and it's unlevel. The level can't fix the cabinet. We don't push a button on the level and it fixes it. We don't take it and use it like a hammer or a pry bar. That's not what it's for. It's for revealing if the cabinet's level or not. We need another tool in order to level it. We need to get the shims and maybe take out a screw and put another screw in. Because the purpose of the level is to reveal that which is level and unlevel. See, the purpose of the law is to reveal our sin. It shows us what's right and what's wrong, and it shows us we are wrong. But it's limited in that it's not for fixing our sin. We don't look to the law to repair us. That's not its purpose. And we can get real frustrated trying to make the law fix us. What is law? Law is a list, it's rules. A list of rights and wrongs. Now, when it comes to laws, this is the best you're going to get. This is a good law. This is the best set of rules in all of history. The Bible talks about the Old Covenant, which is this, and the New Covenant. Now, the New Covenant isn't better laws. It's not laws at all. So the purpose of law, God's law here, is to reveal our sin and not to fix our sin. I want to read a scripture. It says the same. Romans 3:20. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." So you take the law and you try to do the law. You can't be justified. It doesn't fix you. It doesn't make you right before God. It's not what it's for. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It shows us our sin. So if we know what it's for revealing our sin. So what is our proper response to it? We acknowledge it as good and right, and we acknowledge us as falling short. We confess, "God, I see what is right, and I see I am wrong. I'm sorry." The word confession means to come in agreement with. "God, you're right. I'm wrong. I see it." I don't want to rationalize out and say, "Oh, I didn't mean it. It wasn't my fault." It was my fault. I am wrong. I see. I've fallen short. I've broken your law. Confession. Acknowledgement. That's the proper response. Not to try to fix ourselves with it, but to confess. Now, I think it's really important to realize the limitations of the law, because if we fail to realize that, then we miss the other purpose of the law. See, the law has at least two purposes. One is to reveal our sin. Two is to point to Jesus. That's what it's supposed to do. Now, if we think the law can fix us, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the law leading us to Jesus. The law shows us we're wrong. And then it puts a burden on us. "I need someone to help me in this wrong condition, because I'm in trouble if I don't get a Savior, if I don't get help," pointing us to Jesus. We recognize its limitation, and we get the purpose. You know, what makes Christianity unique? You set it up, and there's something unique about Christianity that it's not true of any of the other religions. And that is this idea of grace. this idea. See, all the other religions are laws. Lists of rules, rights and wrongs, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. And they're frustrating. Because they don't work. See, it didn't work here. 2-3 million people seeing this sight. Huge mountain shaking. The whole mountain shaking. Thunders and lightnings and trumpets and God descending on the mountain and speaking audibly. God speaking audibly. And they heard the law. Now, if the law was going to work for anybody, it would work for one of those 3 million people. But it didn't. So many days and months later, they went back to sinning because they were the same people. They heard what was right and what was wrong, but in their hearts, they were the same people. And laws don't change our heart. They reveal our sin, but they don't change us. So religion and laws can be frustrating. This is what you're supposed to do, and you can try and you can push and you can strive. But at the end of the day, you're the same person. And you can keep from doing certain things, but the right circumstances line up and boom, you mess up because that's who you are. You're that person. You have sin in your heart. But what makes Christianity unique is we have the law here, but the Bible talks about a new covenant. Turn in your Bibles. I want you to read this one if you will follow with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah is just past the middle. It's a big book. You should be able to find it. Past Isaiah. Go to the middle. Psalms. Turn right. 4 or 5 books. Jeremiah 31. Verse 31. What makes Christianity unique? Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Look at this in verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. The new covenant. See, it points to Jesus, and Jesus is our Savior, and Christianity isn't a list of laws and rules. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ that changes our hearts and our minds from the inside so that we're different people. The Bible teaches that, you see, this flesh, this life we live that is sins because it's the nature of it. There's no plan of reformation. There's no way to fix it, period. So Christianity says you just got to die to self and get a whole new nature. And he puts his spirit within us and gives life to our spirit, born again, different people, different nature, different on the inside. And he begins to grow that new nature. That's what Christianity is about. So we approach the law, and we seek to understand its purpose. We're sinners. Okay, you're right. I'm wrong. Now I need help. And a list of rules ain't going to change my heart. So it points us to Jesus. And let's walk through that. Turn to Romans chapter 7. We talked about last week how Paul realized he was a sinner through the law. It was that covetous one that got him. Thou shalt not covet. So, man, I can't stop that. I'm guilty. And he goes on to recognize that he's a sinner. And there's a law of sin that he cannot overcome. But let's pick up in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? See, the law did this to him. It brought him to this place. I covet. I'm a sinner. I broke the law. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, he gets to the answer there. But then he goes back to the problem. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. See, he said, I could read the law and understand it's right, it's good. I want to keep the law in his mind. But he says with his flesh, he serves the law of sin. He can't help it. It's who he is. He goes on in verse 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus. See, that's how the law is supposed to work. God shows us what's right, what's wrong. We see it. We're broken. I'm wrong. I can't be right. And we cry out, who's going to help me? And God reveals the person of Jesus Christ. I died on the cross for your sins. I can forgive you. I can save you. I can change you. I can give you new life. Oh, thank God. There's no condemnation to those who walk according to the Spirit, the new life, not the old. Can't fix the old life. It don't work. New life. I want to read one more verse in Galatians. You don't have to turn there if you don't like. If you want, you can. To the right, a couple books, Galatians 2:16. Similar concept. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. So the law points to Jesus, and Christianity doesn't point to a life of following rules, but a life of faith. That's what it's about. When we get to that point, I'm a sinner, who's going to help me? Jesus says, I will help you. I've paid the price to save you. And the Christian believes in Jesus. By faith receives Jesus. By faith is born again. Justified. That's the life. Not by trying to do all the right things, because it won't change who you are. But when you have faith in Jesus, he will change who you are. He'll make you new. The Bible talks about how the law is fulfilled. I found three scriptures. I won't turn to them. But it talks about love being the fulfillment of the law. Jesus said, all the law is fulfilled in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love. That's what the law is all about, each and every one of the Ten Commandments. It's love. But then you find out we don't have that love. It's love that we don't possess and we cannot conjure up. It's a love that's crazy divine. So where do we get it? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. So when we come to Jesus, he gives us the very ingredient that we need to live right, to be who we're supposed to be. He puts it in our heart, in our spirit. That's a part of our new nature. Love. The very thing. Without love, you cannot keep the law. Some people, we talked last week about the rich young ruler. He said, what good thing must I do to be saved? You see, he kind of had, it was a law thing. Let me do good things. Give me a list of rules. I can do it. Jesus said, you know the law. Keep, honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. He started listing the laws, and the rich young ruler said, I've kept all those since I've been young. He didn't get it. He convinced himself he was keeping the law. But he wasn't, and God revealed it to him when he said, well, if you're such a good law keeper, why don't you sell all your possessions and follow me? If you're really keeping the law right before God, you'd be willing to give up your money, right? And he went away sorrowful because he loved his money. He failed in covetousness. He didn't keep the law. And that's the idea. Paul talks about how we can do all kinds of great stuff. And if we don't have love, it profits us nothing. To really understand how we're supposed to really keep the law and be good and live, we need his love. We need his love. So we approach the law. It reveals our sin. We confess and we cry out for Jesus. It points to Jesus. And by faith, we receive Jesus, and He changes us from the inside. And along the way, as Christians, born-again believers with a new nature, we fall and sin sometimes. We mess up. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I do this. Sometimes I want to go back to, okay, show me the list of rules that I got to try to keep. No. Paul said, as you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk in Him. How did you receive Jesus? Was it by keeping rules? No. It was by faith. You said, Jesus, I need you. Come into my heart. Make me new. And He came. Paul said, that's how I want you to walk. That's how we live our lives as Christians every day. Not by trying to keep the rules, but by living by faith. Okay, Jesus, I believe in You again. Forgive me my sin today. Fill me with Your Spirit. Give me more of that love I need. And help me to do right. That's how we walk. That's how we live. Praise the Lord. Let's go back and finish the chapter. We'll sum it up. Verse 22 of Exodus 20. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. And every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. So now God, right after this scene, tells Moses, and Moses tells the people, I want you guys to build altars, but don't build any gold or silver images. And don't make a big deal about the altar. Just use dirt. Pile up a heap of dirt and use it as an altar. Don't get fancy. Don't get tools and carve it. And he says, if you want to use stones, okay, just throw them in a pile. Don't use a tool. You'll ruin it. Then he says, don't put it on a stage. Don't make it real high up. You know, the priest had robes, they get up there, and he says, I don't want them to see your naked legs up there. Why these rules? Why did God want them to just use earth? Why did God not want them to put it high or make it fancy? Because God wanted them to have a vehicle in which to worship Him, to offer sacrifices to Him. But He didn't want them to emphasize the wrong thing. They make this gorgeous, pretty altar. And then he'd be like, wow, isn't that a good altar? Let's worship God on this beautiful altar. And the emphasis is taken away from God, where it's supposed to be. Or a distraction. Oh, let's come to worship God. Hey, that priest got some pretty chubby legs, doesn't he? Because you know what? When we go to worship God, it's very easy to be distracted. And it's very easy to emphasize something or someone else. It's natural. And it's so important for us to worship God in spirit and in truth for real. And to make Him our only emphasis. So God's saying, I don't want you to make a big deal of the other stuff. And you know, this could translate for us today. I'll make these gorgeous, fancy buildings where people are like, I'm going to go to that cool church. And the emphasis is on some building. You know, this is why God uses the weak and the uneducated and the people so often that have got issues. And because they don't want, God doesn't want the emphasis to be on a person. Oh, I'm going to go to church and hear that really cool guy. He's great. Someone said, you know, why does God use people? Why doesn't God send angels? They would certainly do a much better job if we went to church and there was an angel pastor. You know, he wouldn't mess up and have all the problems. But God chooses to use these cracked vessels because He doesn't want any emphasis taken away from God. You know, here I study and do my best and I'm weak. And And every one of us is weak. And God uses us to encourage one another, but we should keep our emphasis on God and nothing else. Now I'm going to go buy a Bible. I want a really cool leather lambskin Bible with all the best notes, a $600 Bible. I'm going to read this really cool. What about keeping the emphasis on the truth of God's Word, the God of the Bible? Whatever it is, we can make anything a distraction, emphasizing and taking away our attention from God to something else. He says, don't even use a tool, just put a regular pile of dirt. Worship me. Put your focus and your emphasis on me and me only. And oh, that we would, because, you know, it kind of fits with the earlier part. The purpose of the law is to reveal our sin and point us to Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus to be saved. We need Jesus every day just to live our life, not be frustrated. So if we need him so much, let's strip away all the other stuff. Let's commune with him and go to him often. And make sure when we go to him, it's about him and not something else. You know, and the Lord, I'm sure, will help us see the areas in which we make it about something else. We get it wrong. We are distracted. We emphasize something else. But oh, we need to pray for real to him often. We need to read the Word and not, oh, I wonder if that's the 25th time that word's used in the Hebrew. Learn the Bible, but read it to hear what God is saying, to get something from it for your spirit. Read it correctly, often. Go to church and sing to the Lord. Worship him. Don't worry. Don't get distracted by this or that or who's hearing and who's listening. Worship him. Sing to him. Oh, that we would interact and go to Jesus and receive from Jesus. We need him. And it's so easy to get things mixed up and twisted where we're not really worshiping him. It's something else that we're emphasizing. That's all I have for this evening. Let's pray. Let's go to him now. Heavenly Father, we look to you. We thank you so much for sending Jesus. We thank you for grace. We thank you that you've made a way for us to be saved. Lord, we thank you that you offer us a new life and a new nature. No other way would work. Lord, I pray that you continue to teach us and lead us and help us to hear from you and understand what you're saying. Help us to rely on you. Help us not try to do it in our flesh, but to receive from you and to walk according to the Spirit. Lord, give us that love we need to live life right. Lord, help us to spend real time with you and spend real time with you often, and show us any distraction or anything that we emphasize too much, and that anything or anyone that takes away from you. Help us, Lord. We need you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.